Salam Maitreya and salam everyone. Of course, Maitreya is with us in the room today, available for any questions or discussion anyone has. So let's, great, good sound. So let's open the mic for anyone who is bringing any questions and we can start off there. Well, if there are no questions, we can go ahead and start our readings. Today is the second seal day, the seal of the day, second seal, along with the fourth seal, the focus of the feast. So as we go along and any questions get stimulated, just either raise your hand or type your questions in text, and we'll turn the mic over to Maitreya. I'd like to begin with a reading from Children of Abram, Abraham. All prophecies are fulfilled in the preface. That's on page 117 for those who have your book. As it is described in the book, The Base, as the base of our teachings, creation started billions of years ago and actually has been perfected through numerous stages and changes until man was created. Then, through many different evolutionary steps, again, man became more and more under the control of God. Then, around 12,000 years ago, with another evolutionary step symbolized by the flood of Noah, new man, as we know him today, was evolved. This evolutionary process was completed around 6,000 years ago. Through many lifetimes and also from those who had already reached higher consciousness even before the flood of Noah, such as Enoch, a group of humans were chosen as elected people to set an example for others and also to guide humanity to the true path of reaching pure consciousness. Who was chosen as the first of such a people and became their father was Abram, Abraham. God chose Abram because he was a great spiritual personality and one who longed to preserve the laws of God. Read the holiest book, Holiest 1 and 2. This book is about the promises given to Abram, Abraham, and how all of them are fulfilled. Also, it is about the fulfillment of many prophecies in the same period of time. Furthermore, it will explain some prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet, but will be soon to come. At the end, it will be mentioned how the kingdom of God on earth will be established and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. However, before starting the book, there are two points which should be kept in mind and never lost sight of throughout the entire book. First, we have to remember four things. The law of karma, that each action has a reaction and the doer should bear the result of his actions. The law of reincarnation, that man will be reincarnated again and again until he reaches perfection. The ability of God to forgive, through His grace, the sins or bad karma, whenever He desires, that is, when a person learns the lessons of an experience and follows the laws of God, his sins will be forgiven. Because all this creation was made to give man different experiences in different levels of evolution. When the experience and the lesson are gained, there is no reason that he should suffer more, so God forgives he who understands and walks with him. And lastly, the ability of God to put a person in situations that are necessary for him to gain some experiences or lessons, or to perform a duty, even without sin and without having done any bad karma or bad actions. Remembrance of these four points will keep us aware that when we talk about a special race or people or their ancestry, it is not a description of generations as a superior or inferior race. As described by the four laws or points above, these people have been reincarnated in that situation because of their past deeds or for fulfilling the purposes that God was trying to bring about. So this will help the reader to stay away from prejudice and narrowness of the mind. The second point is to remember that this book is written only to show another sign of God's actions to fulfill His plan of bringing man to his senses, showing how He, God, works and fulfilling His promises, even when humans fail to understand His works. So this book is written to enhance and increase the faith of those who try to know the truth and realities behind our teachings. But the base of our teachings is what is revealed through the holiest book, the essence, the base, and revelation of the revelation. This book will also help the student of the Bible to understand the Bible more completely when he keeps in mind why all things in the Bible have happened, so that the things described in this book are fulfilled. Some truth in this book was realized through some other people also, but this book is more complete than any other explanation of the plan of the Lord for humanity, because others only had realized a part of the truth by narrowing themselves into explaining these things only from the view of one religion. And this is in bold print. When man wants to describe God's plan or any great idea for humanity in narrow ways, then the trouble starts and he has no choice but to err. However, with the expansion of the mind and understanding the laws of God for the whole universe, universalism, man can solve many problems in the world only by knowing Him. Amen. And actually, at this time, I'd like to open the mic and see if there are any questions and possibly check in with another reader. Salam, Arjuna's mom and Brody. And Arjuna, sure, go ahead and take the mic.
Okay, can you hear me okay? Okay, great. I was shopping the other day and I saw something printed on a picture, and it was a passage from Matthew 4:19, and it said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And I was wondering if you could explain what that meant. Thanks, God.
Salam everyone. I hope sound's coming through okay. That is a famous passage that Christ told His disciple, that if you follow me, I will make you the fisher of men. Of course, they were the fisher of sea, and they left that occupation and followed Him. He called them to come and join Him, and therefore they can go out there and find people who will listen to His disciples. So they changed the occupation of being the fishermen. They became the fisher of men, because they were the elect, they were the salt of the world, they were the chosen one, and therefore they heard the call and dropped everything and followed Christ, and therefore they were able to also call the rest that were ready to join Him, and eventually the Christianity spread to the West and to the East, and people saw the truth of what He was saying and joined them. That's exactly what we are doing at this time, and the difference is we call that calling elect, and the calling elect really means that come and become the fisher of men this time for the seventh seal. Same thing all the prophets did, so did Moses. Moses came and took the Jews out of Egypt. Muhammad came and chose those that listened to him, and they took the mission and carried it on farther. Bab, Baha'u'llah, all the prophets, when they come, the chosen one, the elect, the Israelites, the children of light, are also on earth, and they hear the call, and they take the message and take it to all four corners of earth. Of course, this time God has given us much better tools, and we can call everyone from all corners of the earth at the same time just by spreading the word to the people who can connect to the internet, and that means everyone, even the refugees and people who are in the places that they have a lot of problem. They have access to internet, as we a couple of days ago received an email from a person in Russia that lives in a very poor area, was asking for help because they didn't have enough food and money to stay alive this winter, although he is very poor and is in a place that is very isolated. He were able to go to the library and have free access to internet to send email and come to our website if he wanted to. So we can see everybody almost have the access to the internet to come and see this revelation. So we are doing the same thing. We are calling the people who want to be the fisher of men, and that sentence basically means that you are called, you are chosen. Come out of mundanity, come together, create the communities of light. Create an example for humanity. For instance, if we can create the New Jerusalem, the very call of prayer that will be broadcast in that city, it become a very powerful call for the whole humanity, and it become a city or a center or a place that many visitors and tourists and people will come and become kind of a news that can attract many people to come to it and see there is meditation, there is call to prayer, there are teachings, and we can reach out to humanity in a greater degree. So we have all the tools and ability to reach to humanity. Now we have to find those they want to be the fisher of men. So we can see all the prophets and all the revelation went through the same process. They called the people who were regular people doing regular things, and suddenly they saw a call from God to them. They were so ready to drop the nets and stop fishing in the sea and start reaching out to humanity. That's what it means. I hope that answered your question. If it didn't, we can, of course, follow it up. If there is no question, that's okay. That means we have answered all the questions. So just go ahead and have a regular room. And if somebody had something came up, they can just ask. But don't worry about that. Just go ahead. Go ahead, sponsor.
My question is about twin prophet. I read that somewhere in the website. Twin prophet, the sixth seal, I guess, and it's Anandamurti or something like that. I'm not very familiar with that. Can you please and tell me if it's this prophet is still living and. What is the purpose of this prophet, twin prophets? I read there is two prophets on earth now at the same time. Is that right or no? That is my question.
Actually, the twin prophets are related to the Baha'is, which had the prophet Bab and also Baha'u'llah, who came one after another and create the religion of Babis and Baha'is. That was the fifth seal, but the sixth seal is Baba or Ananda Murti. He was alive when I started the mission, and he was the person I became attracted to and joined his organization called Ananda Marga. And he is the person that brought the concept of Sadvipra, or the people who are able to manifest the four classes that we have explained in the teachings. So those explanations of the four classes and the Sadvipra basically come from him. But of course, we expand on that and explain how what he says is true all through the history to this point. And so it's much more expanded the way we brought it in our teachings. So he is the person who brought the sixth seal, or the concept of paraviparas or sadviparas or elects. That explanation explains who the elects are, what elects mean in all the scriptures that God says they are my people, they are the ones that will bring the kingdom and all that. So your question is covering two sections in the greatest sign. The twin prophets are Bab and Baha'u'llah, but the sixth seal is Baba, who passed away after I started the mission. A few years later, he left his body. So there is no other prophet really alive at this time while this revelation is being spread on earth. I hope that answered your question.
I can continue the reading if there is no question. Okay, I will read in the book, Thus Speaks Maitreya, on surrendering and submission, Islam, and it was at the last chapter. Remember the greatest sign and the relationship between the different seals. This will greatly help to clear the way toward understanding the truth behind them all. To know the Quran and Islam. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. I didn't want to interrupt. I'd like to just check something, actually. Check maybe some of my thinking on this. I think sometimes people, when they read Enso about the elected ones and the Hebrews and Abram and Abraham, that I'm wondering if people are not realizing how this is current, and they may look at it and say, well, that's history, and it doesn't correlate to me now. So this is what I want to check. Abraham was surrendered to God. He was a surrendered one, and God chose him as his friend, and I can't think of anything better than to be the friend of God. I would just, you know, that's just a wonderful, wonderful thought and realization. But he was God's friend because he listened to him. He followed what God commanded. So I think our human minds tend to think, well, he commanded Abraham to move, and he tested him by wanting him to sacrifice his two children and so forth. But how can we relate that to today's understanding? And God made promises to Abraham, whereas now, if I'm understanding correctly, those promises have been fulfilled. And now the playing field is flattened. And the promise now is that the kingdom of heaven will come. So it seems like those same tests, or in how God does not change his ways, those same kinds of things would apply. That we then, in order to receive the promise of the kingdom of heaven on earth, we have to obey his voice, which we know is so now. And we are also tested. So it seems like, if I'm making the jump properly, that those same things that God did with Abraham apply to each and every person on earth. Is this a correct thought?
Yes, it is a correct thought. Actually, as our teaching have revealed in any writing that we wrote, and the revelation is clearly says that the Jewish people, Abraham, the whole history and revelations are an example how this universe works and how God created it to help humanity to return and go back home and not be attracted to the external world and be diverted from the goal, which is to become divine. So Abraham was agreeing with God, and therefore they became friends. They were thinking the same way. Abraham wasn't fighting against God or trying to say, this is my idea, and I know better than you. You know how your universe works. Therefore, I accept your words. And when God said, leave and go somewhere else, he knew that God has a purpose for him. And he obeyed, not because he was a blind follower, but because he knew God is not going to do something that is going to hurt him or something that is not according to the universal law. Because he could hear the voice of God, he could trust it. And that's what exactly the revelations are. The revelations are the voice of God, which comes to humanity to guide them to further their progress and know how they live their lives. In the last 12,000 years, the whole history and the way humanity is and how their third eye has been closed, and now it is revealed that the whole history has been a lesson for man, and the Hebrews have been chosen as a example for them to recognize there is a law of karma, there is a way of obedience or going against the will of God. And any time any people, any person goes against the will, of course, create karma and create the imbalance in their lives and in the society and in the community and in the nations and on earth. And there is a consequence for doing that. And therefore, by studying Hebrews, by studying prophets, by studying history, humanity have to come to this conclusion that they have to create a society and environment that it will help them to become divine. It will help them to create the way that God has intended for humanity and this earth to be and follow and progress and become. And therefore, it's correct that we say that Abraham obeyed God and therefore he was blessed. He obeyed not with the blind following God, but because he agreed with God. He saw clearly that his way is a better way and a best way. God always reaching out to humanity to be their friends, to be close to them. It's humanity which turns the other direction and goes to the world and Maya. And when somebody does that, of course, God can't help them. That is the free will. You have the free will to accept God and his way, or you say, no, I'm going to accept my will and do what the world tells me to do. And of course, Maya is very powerful. It's been said Maya is as powerful as God, and therefore people become attracted and they go away from God, and then they blame God for leaving them while he has never left. He has always there. He is always your friend. But it is you who have to turn around and say, hey, friend, I can see you are right behind me. So it's a perception of humanity that is not correct, and therefore they create such a lives that it's hard, it's difficult, it's desirous, it's full of attachments and all those things that relates to Maya and external world. And because this external world is not the natural state of the universe, it is temporary, and whatever is temporary, if you are attached to it, it will create misery and unhappiness. By understanding these things, of course, we can create an environment that, you know, we can overcome this thing easier and understand the way of God. That is the whole question. Do we want to understand the way of God and agree with it, or do we want to follow our own ways and still want to be friend of God? And as Christ said, you cannot have both. You cannot have the world and God. It doesn't go together, because God created this whole universe to turn you around. When you are not turning around, he just leaves you alone and says, okay, I'm your friend, I'm right by you, but you have to go your way and I will wait for you. That's why Abraham is such a celebrated being, because he absolutely was surrendered and submissive to the will of God. Prophet Muhammad based his religion on Abraham's way of obeying God. And therefore, Islam became the teaching of being surrendered and submissive to God based on what Abraham did. Because Abraham was surrendered and submissive, therefore that it was the highest a spiritual achievement to listen to God, to understand the way of God, to obey the way and follow it. Of course, now with the eternal divine path, everybody knows what the will of God is. Meditation, contemplation, awakening of your spiritual forces, directing that energy toward the creation of the communities of light. The prime directive is to create justice, create an environment which is pure, godly, and disregard and shun anything which is not. In such an environment, acceleration of humanity will be tremendously increased. Then, of course, you have to give to the community more than you take, sacrifice, and then know what is the will of God for you in the community, in that environment. Also shatter all the narrowness of the mind and become a universalist and not to be attached to any narrow ideas, and therefore you can free yourself to become a paravipra, an elect, the one who knows the will of God, follows the eternal divine path, become another Abraham, become another surrendered and submitted to the will of God. And such a people are the ones that will have greatest grip of the reality and will look at the example of Abraham, at history, the way God has guided to this point, and they become a champion of the mission and this revelation, and they will take this and go to the end of the earth. So indeed, your perceptions are absolutely correct. And they have put an example for all of us to know the way of God. The way of living is not what the world teaching us to follow. The way of living and correct way of being is the way of God. I hope that answers your question. If you have any follow-up, go ahead.
Thanks, God. Yes, that does help a lot. That word friend always puzzled me and attracted me at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So also in Islam, when Prophet Muhammad came, there's that teaching of to be a believer or a disbeliever. So then possibly in this context, would then a believer correlate to being a friend? Because a believer would be following the will of God as Prophet Muhammad was teaching it at that time.
Correct. The believer is the friend of God. If you believe in God and his revelation and his teachings. He is your friend. It's not reserved only for Abraham or Abraham. Anybody who truly believes in God and his words and turn around and come, he or she is his friend. They are working for the same reason, for the same purpose, and therefore they come close and they think the same. If they don't, they work it out and eventually agree with each other what is the best way to do their goal. But their goal is the same. The goal of all the realized people is to go back to the Godhead, to return home, and help others also to do the same. Therefore, the goal is the same. The only thing is our approach might be a little different, and that's what friends are. Friends discussing together, if they have a purpose or the similar goals to achieve, they can talk it out and eventually agree and carry it out. So therefore, if you are a true believer, if you are 100% want to know God and his will, you talk to him, you discuss with him. That's why we are here, to discuss things together, to agree with each other, and eventually come closer to one another and say, okay, the goal is to turn around and go home, and the way is the eternal divine path. Now, what is my situation? What is your situation? Now, how can we work together and help each other to achieve it? And therefore, we are friends, because you believe in God and God's revelation, and I do. So we have no choice but come close. But if I'm trying to create the communities of light and you want to go your way, then we can't be together. We can't be friends. And friends stay together. Even if they're separated, they meet each other once in a while. So we can see, if you are godly, and if you have the same goals which prophets have revealed to you, God is your friend.
If there is no other question, I will continue the reading. Let me know. I think there is a question from sponsored.
The sponsor is asking, I read in the site somewhere about getting rid of the bad energy in an hour or so. Energy that took 8 hours of good sleep to take out of the body. Is it explain how to do that in the website? Because I think I sleep too much these days, and it is a waste of time for me. I suppose you're talking about the technique that you lie down on your right side, usually with your hand underneath your pillow or your head, and usually you can stay there. If you're really tired, you usually take a 10 to 15 minutes nap, and you wake up very refreshed instead of lying down on your back and falling asleep for hours of sleep. That technique is a very simple technique. You, instead of deciding you are going to go to bed and prepare yourself and go to bed, if it's the middle of the day or it is sometime that you don't want to really sleep too much, but you want to just get refreshed, we call it technique. You lie down on your right side with your hand usually under your head or your pillow, and and maybe your other hand right across your body, at the top of your body. You just take the nap for 10-15 minutes. Don't go back to your back or the position that usually you sleep, otherwise you're going to just fall asleep and it's going to be for hours of sleep. But you want a technique, stay in that position for 10-15 minutes and then wake up. Probably it was one of the sad songs I mentioned it. You will fall asleep very deeply for a very short period of time, and then you wake up because it is not the position that makes you fall asleep for a long time, and also it accelerates the process of sleep. Of course, it doesn't replace your sleep, but if you know the technique well, you don't need as much sleep as usually. If you sleep too much, then that should help you not to sleep that much. Yes, the position is to the right side of your body, with your hand usually under the pillow or under your head. And your other hand can stay on your chest or across your body. Either way is fine. And you stay in that position. Don't change the position to any other positions.
I will continue the reading. And if there is a question, let me know. I was in Thus Speaks Maitreya on Surrendering and Submission. Remember the greatest sign and the relationship between the different fields. This will greatly help to clear the way toward understanding the truth behind them all. I think there is a question from Dan.
Sorry, Radha, I guess you're not going to be able to get back to your reading question, which is a good God thing. Hello, Maitreya. I have read or heard somewhere within the website or written in Thoth, I'm not sure where now, that those who have separated themselves from your mission for whatever reason, that they fall further into Maya than they were before they came to the mission. My question is this. Is it possible for them to be able to return from their own desires, to return to the mission? And if so, is there other requirements within that process?
Absolutely. The door is always open. The only thing is to turn around and face God, and God is with you again. And the covenant that you made with the mission, you cannot break it in this time. In this revelation, when you made the covenant, it's forever. So if you don't have covenant breakers, as other religions, they call some people who leave the organization or the revelation or the mission. Usually those people who do not know the teaching well, in my experience, are those that they do not follow to the end. Therefore, knowing the teaching is very important for people who want to stay in the mission. And usually those who leave, they have a lot of ideas of themselves. And although I have given satsang, we have videos, audios, though, website, still they have not given up their own original ideas. And therefore they're not surrendered, not submit to the will of God and His revelation. And when the conflict, of course, arises between when they believe and what is revealed, they cannot reconcile their own understanding with God's revelation. And that's what exactly happened from the very beginning. God said, thou shalt not eat or not fall to this level. And Adam and Eve said, no, we want to do what we want to do. So, okay, sure, go ahead. But what happens when you do that, you will fall from the grace and you lose the faith and you don't understand the teaching in a depth that has been given, and therefore it doesn't sound good to you anymore because you have your own desires, attachments, opinion, ideas, and it's not the same as God's. Of course, we're not trying to create cult here. There is no compulsion in faith and belief. We want you to understand. We want you to see the vision. We want you to become a source of great revealing of this teaching to other people and explaining to other people because they understood it. Not because I said you should be in the mission, you should follow, you should understand. But you understand it yourself and you become a teacher, you become a leader, you become a champion of this idea that you can see yourself. But if you refuse to do that, if you refuse to truly understand the depth of the teaching, if you're coming to the mission because it has good energy and you want to just be with a good energy instead of knowing the teaching, if you really don't want to 100% dedicate yourself to the vision, then of course you might get in trouble. People that might join the mission later on and stay with it because they're not that close to the center and the place that, of course, it's more difficult to be with me than just being somewhere else and just liking the mission. And therefore, in the long run, they might find a place for themselves to be in the mission but not close to the mission, which is okay. This mission is for everyone. Everyone can be in this mission, and everybody can help in any level they can. But of course, I only work very close with the people that they can come, understand the mission, understand the vision, and be 100% dedicated to the mission. And we agree with each other that we have to work to spread the mission together and reach out and become friends. Those are, of course, my friends. They are the people that are one with God's will, as it has been revealed. If those people who have left or for some reasons they were taken away from it, they return, the door is always open for them. And I believe they have no choice because something somewhere in them made them to make the covenant. When you say, I accept the covenant, it means, I saw the vision, I like what you say, this makes sense to me, it is the truth that God sent, and I like to be a part of you. This, I want to be your friend. Covenant with me means, I see the vision just like you. So we can see eye to eye, and we can work together toward that fulfillment. So something happened to them that they made that covenant, and I count on that something to turn them around eventually, and they come to God. So, in your answering your question, absolutely. Anytime anybody turn around toward God, no matter how far they have fallen, God is there for them.
I can continue. To know the Quran and Islam, like any other religions or truth, the seeker should eagerly ask for guidance and be zealous in pursuing the truth behind the stories and symbols of the revelation. Only with his blessing will the true meaning be revealed, but a real seeker will find the answers regardless of the confusion between religions, arguments, and the influence of intellectual spiritualists. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you, unto you. Matthew 7:7. Furthermore, for additional help, when studying a religion, there are 3 points that should be remembered. The common truth that underlies all religions, the mission of each prophet, and the people for whom the revelation was given. God gives truths to people according to their capacities and readiness. That is why he uses the symbols most revealing to those people. But the truth behind those symbols is one, because the truth is one. I am just here to reveal to you that it is possible to present that spirit to humanity. It is possible to let them know God exists. It is not by chance. There is a God. There is a being there that God is evolution. God is the creation.
God is you and me. It does not mean that we should not have the discriminative mind and discriminate between levels of consciousness, but God is there. We are here to show humanity that all these religions of the world have been sent by God with the same mind, the same God. If we can see that all the religions of the world have come from the same God, then with what do we have to separate one from another? Nothing. This is up to each human. This is up to us, the people. The more people in the different places of the world come together and realize that we are one and create the communities of light, what will we have? We will have all the beautiful communities based on God. And this is the realization that there is no Jew, there is no Muslim, there is no Christian, there is no Hindu or Buddhist. There is only one religion, and that is the religion of the spirit. And we are all spirits. We do not have any religion. The eternal divine path is not a religion. It is a path. It is a crystallized path. It is not a dogma. It is a path of the spirit, and each of these religions has a part of it. Let me know if there is a question. We have to realize that God works in a way that is beyond human imagination. Now, God sends this revelation to humanity and tells them, these are the seven seals. This is how I promised the children of Abraham that I am going to send this revelation through them, and I sent them. So humanity has to listen and stop this madness that we are in. In every scripture, it says that there is a chosen people who will inherit the earth. They are the people who God has taken as the children of Israel, as the people who have listened to him, who have wanted to follow his laws and be his chosen ones. In every scripture, you pick this up. In Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, etc., in every scripture, it says that there is going to be a chosen people. Who are these chosen people? This has actually created a lot of problems with many people because every religion says, we are the chosen people, no one else is. That is one reason why there is so much confusion. Each religion says, if you are not in our religion, you are not good. You are going to hell. But really, who are the chosen people? The chosen people are the ones who seek to know God, follow his laws, and become one with those laws. So it really does not have any boundary, any religion. It is not an organized religion. They are the people who have purified their hearts and let God come through their hearts. They are the people who want to be his channels. What is the fastest way to do that? The fastest way is to know that all these religions and all these scriptures have come from the same God, and he has guided them one by one to the eternal divine path. So, God's realization and feeling him deeply is an all-around lifestyle. You cannot go halfway with God. You have to go all the way. That is why I said those who stay to the end will be saved. You cannot go halfway and say, oh, let us just turn around here and do this thing for a while and see what happens. Okay, let us turn this way and let us stay for a while. No, it is a lifestyle. You wrap up yourself with God. That is why we are working toward communities of light. It is not just one philosophy or teaching or one realization. It is the whole thing, physically, mentally, and spiritually. It is something that grows on you. It takes time. Of course, as I said, God can do whatever he wants to. He can touch you right there in a minute, and you say, hey, he touched me. Then that is it. For the rest of your life, you are touched. But you have to let that love grow in you, let it flourish. And as it grows in you more and more, you become more flowing in God consciousness. Then you can love God deeply because you recognize his universe. That is another way to realize God, by recognizing his universe and knowing his ways and his creation. It is a complete turnaround. That is what baptism means. You cannot belong to the world and also belong to God. You can be in the world. It is okay to be in the world. You have no choice. You have a body, but be not of it. You should be of God. It is a complete turnaround to God. It is a complete commitment to God, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Without it, you are going to be half-hearted. He said, if you are lukewarm, I will throw you out of my mouth. It means that you are not completely wholeheartedly for him. So when you turn around completely, physically, mentally, and spiritually, then you are baptized in the Spirit. When you are baptized in the Spirit, the more you go toward God, the greater and deeper you are going to feel God within you. And it starts with the longing to want to know God. That is the first step. You want to know God. That is the beginning. That is when you are called to God. God is calling you, son, come to me, come home. That longing is there that I want to know God. I want to know God deeply. You have done many other things that you thought were going to give you joy and happiness. They did not. You wanted a house. You wanted money. You wanted the opposite sex. You wanted children. You wanted all those things for many, many lifetimes. They did not satisfy you. Eventually, you will reach a place where you will see, what is this? I am not receiving any satisfaction out of all these things I have gathered around me or I experienced. Still, I am empty. Something inside is not filled up. That is when God says, okay, son, you had enough. Now you can come to me. We are here to manifest the love of Isa, Jesus, with the wisdom of Buddha, the practicality of Muhammad, the universality of Baha'i, and any other qualities of God which exist. Probably our path is more comprehensive and more difficult than any of them alone. But to struggle to understand and come close to God is the only endeavor that will yield a permanent result. If you ever progress in the Spirit, be it a little, it will stay with you forever. Any other possession, be it physical or mental, has to be left behind. Therefore, arise above all the trivialities of life and raise the shield of righteousness and the gird of purity with the sword, word of the truth, even if the rest of the universe stays opposed to you. That is the Spirit of God, Holy Ghost, manifested through his servants. Be one with this Spirit. He has prophesied that his kingdom will come on earth. If he said in the past something will happen and it happened, then this will also come true. We will see everything accelerated on the earth. It will come, we will see. We will be all together and every day we will see things accelerating themselves as part of the prophecy for humanity. When they realize that, then we will not have these wars, we will not have these separations, and we will not have racial problems. We will not have all these evils that are on earth. Not only that, we will also have different kinds of technology that will not destroy the earth. So the whole thing is coming to a head for humanity. It is just like a diseased body. All of the diseased parts have to be cut out first before it can heal itself. And that is where we are right now. I wish this thing would happen like a lot of people are saying, very, very harmoniously, with no problems. Yet we see that things are not becoming more harmonious, but are even worse. Those people who are in the Spirit of God and working for his kingdom have no fears at all of what is coming. Their strength is in God, and they are one with each other because of God, because of the Lord, and because they are one with each other, they will go through this period very easily. They have nothing to fear of what is coming. So that is our strength. That is our power. That is our faith. The Spirit of God will do it. The Spirit has come to us and has told us that is what has to come to earth. Now we brought this message down from the ethereal level onto the earth, and it is on earth. The Spirit and the message will go through and eventually humanity will realize that there is no choice, only God's way. They cannot stop us. It is just like they crucified Isa. Could they stop him? No, he came back as Muhammad. That is the truth. So the greatest sign in our teaching gives humanity a yardstick, a map or blueprint of how to reach pure consciousness through the communities of light, through meditation, through prayer, through reading scriptures, through studying the Word of God, through understanding God's Word and actions with understanding thought and the greatest sign, and then bringing those understandings to the community. By bringing these understandings to the community, we create the communities of light. In the communities of light, we sacrifice to establish the kingdom of heaven, of light. Then we become submissive to God. We find what is God's will, and we submit to it. We do not argue. We do not kick and scream and say, "No, no, I'm not going to do your will. I'm going to do my own will. I do not care how many signs you give me that this is the way to go. Still, I am going to scream and yell, 'No, I'm not going to do it.' Then there is something wrong. We are not listening to the will of God. He gives you a sign. He guides you so you become submissive. Then you become a universalist. You are here to help the whole universe to reach pure consciousness. Not just my country, not just my city, not just my neighborhood, not just my nation, not just the earth, but the whole universe. That is the way it is, the whole universe." So now we have given the opportunity again to humanity to consider to apply this principle to their lives, to go toward pure consciousness. They can become workers for the Father. And then we can come together and create more communities of light, more people, and eventually the kingdom of heaven on earth, where many people will reach pure consciousness. They will have plenty of time to meditate, to contemplate on the words of God, to contemplate on each other, and to understand. They can become loving beings, one with another, and become great beings, great souls, the souls who have God within themselves. When we talk about God, we know this is Him talking through us. How can I see these wonderful things that come through me? It is not me saying them. It is God saying them. Then that is pure consciousness, that joy, that assurance. You are sure when you speak. When God comes through you, you are sure. You have no doubt. And that is the moment of pure consciousness. It is a moment of oneness with God. So we can see the signs, we can see the teaching that has been prophesied to come and unify all of humanity together. We can see the beauty of what we teach here and the fulfillment of the prophecies. The time that we are in and all these signs show us that the opportunity has again been given to us. This is another call to all, come and join us, come and become one with God. Any way you look at it, this is the time, and this is the place. That is why we would like to spread this message to every corner of the earth and let them know that it is here. If it is here and the more people listen to it, the more they are going to be able to reach out and touch others. And as more people are touched, our work is done. If we can make everyone on earth hear at least once about this message or work is done, because what is the work of a messenger? The work of a messenger is to give the message. My work is not to convert you to the mission of Maitreya. My work is to give you the message. You become converted yourself if you are chosen. God will convert you. If not, it is between you and Him. All are chosen and called. I will let the mic to the next reader. Salam.
Shalom, everyone. I just opened up Thoth, and I've opened it up to page 280. Tablet 5. God is the greatest. God, Father, was the first in pure consciousness. He is the one who knows the laws of the universe, the laws of reaching pure consciousness. He created the universe in order to help the unit consciousnesses reach pure consciousness. He took the human through the evolutionary process in order to help him to the goal. He is the one directing the universe towards its goal. So he is the greatest. Sera, the family of Imran, a righteous human being whom God had given the scripture and wisdom and prophethood, will not say to people, worship me instead of God. But they say, according to their duty, be faithful devotees of God by constant preaching and attentive studying of the scripture. 79. This verse says that those whom God sends as his messengers or prophets do not tell the people, worship me. They come and say, worship the Lord. For example, even if God incarnated himself as a human and started preaching the truth, what good would it do for him to say who he is? The only thing that would happen is that the people who followed him would create big egos and start to look down at others. They would say, we are the followers of God himself, and you are the followers of the prophets or his sons, so we are greater than you. That is why those who take the prophets as the Lord God or think they are the chosen ones, not because they do the will of the Father, but for mere imagination, do more harm than good for God and his will. Sirrah, the Unity, the Divine Father, God, is the greatest. Proclaim, he is God, the One, God, the self-existing, eternally besought of all. He begets not, nor is begotten, and there is none comparable unto him. 1-4. Tablet 5. God wants humans to understand. God can do whatever he wants to the powerless human because he has complete control over the three gunas and all the unit consciousnesses. He can bring so much fear to men that they submit to him. But God does not want humans to do that. He wants humans to understand his love, wisdom, compassion, and mercy. He wants humans to understand the realities of this universe and respect and love him for all he has done for them. Also, he wants to see man progress toward the greatest achievement for each unit consciousness, which is to reach pure consciousness, to become a son of God. He wants them to choose the path to him by their own free wills, not from fear, but of love. Sirrah, the Poets, God wants humans to understand his compassion and mercy by realizing what he has done for man. He can force man to submit to him, but he does not need respect and love from fear. If we so willed, we can send down a portent to them from the heaven, which would force them to submit. But we exercise not the force. 4. Heaven is pure consciousness. In the Quran, heaven is the place where man meets the Creator, God. According to the law of the universe, same sees same. It means that only those who reach the same consciousness as the Lord can see him. God is in pure consciousness and pure. So when man also reaches pure consciousness or is pure in heart, he will meet his God, Divine Father, face to face. So heaven and pure consciousness are the same. Also, heaven is described as a place of rest. When a unit consciousness reaches pure consciousness, he masters all the powers of the universe, so he does not have to struggle in using them. He is their master by his permission. Therefore, we can see that in the Quran, heaven was described in symbolic language suited to the level of consciousness of the people at that time. Actually, it is describing the same thing as what we call pure consciousness. Indeed, all the scriptures should be read with a consideration of the time, place, and people involved. This allows for maximum benefit and an understanding of the symbolic language and also the consequence of the revelations. Surah Cattle. Life as a symbol for spiritual understanding, resurrection, or heaven. Is he who was dead and ignorant, and we raised him into life and gave him light, spiritual understanding, that he might walk among men, the same as he whose similitude is in utter darkness, ignorance, hell, whence he can by no means emerge from it. 123. Surah the Spider. Meeting the Lord is the same as reaching pure consciousness. Those who hope to meet God should know his reckoning time is surely coming. He is the hearer, the knower. 5. Surah Iron. Heaven is infinite, pure consciousness. A garden, heaven, which spreads over the heavens and the earth, infinite, which has been kept for those who believe in God and his messengers. 21. Surah the Overthrowing. Heaven, pure consciousness, will be neared for those who are ready, elected ones, and when the garden will be brought nigh. 13. I see we are close to the end of this session in Pal Talk. If there are any final questions, please raise your hand and we'll allow you the mic to ask your questions. Or if you feel the need to, just go ahead and type it there in text. That's fine as well. I'll give a moment for anyone to raise their hand. Okay, I will go ahead and release the mic back to the room if there's someone else that would like to pick up in this session, please do so.
Are there any final questions or discussions today? If not, Maitreya will be back live with us on Wednesday again. During the same time, the noon session, we hope you join us. And if there's no questions, all thanks to God. Salam. Thank you, Maitreya, for being with us today. And we'll say salam to everyone. And we'll be back at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time for our soul reading this afternoon as we continue with the Feast of Tabernacles. Salam, everyone. Have a good God afternoon.